Here because God is taking us and putting us on the road and such, and I know they'll be in good hands, but I can't look at my wife. She's crying. It kills me. We watched many kids come through that Sunday school class, the Ask With Boys and such like that, and so it's a hard day for us, but at the same time, it's rejoicing because God is doing in Mr. Neil's life and Ashley's life, what they're going to get involved in, what's going to happen with me and Liberty behind bars. So it's not all sad. So we want to welcome you to this service. It's been, I think Mr. Neil told me, it's been a year since the last service. So pray for these young kids as they get up here and do their part. And we're teaching them. We're just teaching them how to do service now. What if God uses one of these services to show them what God wants for them in their life? And so it's Amen. Important as a young person to learn what service is, see how it is, and see what God has. So what we're going to do is I'm going to open up in prayer real quick, and then we're going to get into our first song. Father, we thank you for today. We do thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that me and my wife had to work for these almost 10 years of being in that Sunday school class. We pray that you'd bless those that come up behind us, Lord. I pray that you'd be with Neil and Ashley as they get into this thing. I pray that for those kids, Lord, that they'll learn what it is to live a Christian life, Lord. And I pray that you bless these kids even right now. And we thank you so much for what you've already done and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' holy and precious name we do pray, Lord. Amen. And so we'll have Lillian, Autumn, and Rayanne, if she wants to come up. And they're going to lead their first song.
Look at the
songs.
Okay. Page 400.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all come to church today. Pray for Mr. Neil and the message. Pray for Josh and his devotional. We take it, we learn it, we use it in our lives. Pray for me and my family. Safe travels to the new church tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to do the announcements right now. This Thursday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Liberty Behind Bars has been collecting 5-cent pop bottle returns. There are 2 new garbage cans downstairs for these. However, we have assigned Taryn and Trevor to be our special helpers to keep these organized and emptied as needed. If you have donations, please find Taryn and Trevor to take them downstairs for you. This will be their job to help earn some money towards their week at summer camp this summer. Teens clean next Sunday, April 3rd at 10 a.m.
I'm doing the treasurer report. The current balance of the Black Creek Teen Fund is $1,650. Unfortunately, due to the past year, we have not been able to do many joint activities. This is our first Teen Sunday in over a year, but many have been generous to our account during the past year. We thank you greatly for that, and will plan to use it wisely once we can do another teen outing adventure. The only financial transactions in the last quarter to report are that we paid the registration accounts for our three teens to attend Servant Hearts Camp this summer.
Thank you, Josh. And so Josh is our treasurer for that teen, this teen thing that we have going on here. So I'm going to explain a little bit. How do the teens earn the money? And so they do jobs, right? There's certain jobs that they have a list. If you do this job, you can earn this many points that equals to this many dollars and so such like that. Josh is going to get up here and do a devotional. He can earn points for doing those, playing the piano, singing. There's all ways for these guys to be able to earn some money, to be able to get to earn the points, to get the money. And then what do they do with that? It turns around and goes for things like somebody's going to camp, right? I think we're paying for a couple to go to camp. That money can come from there. But it also goes for if they want to do an outing. We used to go to the ski resort out there, and we'd ride the lifts and that kind of stuff and just take the teens out for bowling maybe or whatever and pizza and stuff. And so they can earn all that. Each teen earns their own points. He earns their own money to be able to take for that trip. And sometimes we ask the parents, you know, your teen has this much. If you could pitch in this much, that'll help cover everything and such. And so that does help with it. But it's also about service, you know, about them getting up here and being able to get involved in the church. And getting them in there and doing things and getting that feel. I know a couple of them are nervous about it, but you know what? One day they'll look back and say, man, I thank God for the Sunday school class that they did that for us and made us get up here and do those things because they can carry this stuff with them in life. And look, they're not going to be young people their whole entire life. They're going to get out there and face the world. And so as much as we can train them here and help them here, the better it is. Trust me. I've been getting out in the world a lot lately, traveling around to different churches, and it's a scary world in the churches. You know, being outside. So having that go on. And so that's just a little bit of what's going on. So we are going to take an offering for the teen class after Josh is done. If you could prayerfully consider putting that in there, it will go to them. It will go to the things that they're involved in and their trips and such. And so please pray and consider that. And right now, Joshua's going to get up here, and he's going to do his teen devotional. And Autumn is going to play the offertory when that's done.
So it's interesting because last Wednesday, Mr. Dale, as he's preaching, I had been being reminded for 2 weeks of a story I had just read. I had been browsing online and I had found the story. And on Wednesday, God pricked my heart and told me to use it on to use it today. And in the story, from the story, when I read it, when God chose it, I never knew what was going to happen in Myanmar yesterday. But this, in a way, ties similarly to it. For 2 weeks, God has continued to remind me of this story. And the story starts, in a recent sermon, Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii, shared an experience he had on a trip to China, where the church went to a train leaders. The pastor shared how 22 Christians from the Hunan province took a 13-hour train ride to attend the leadership training held at the 700-square-foot hotel room. Out of the 22 Christians present, 18 had been in prison for their faith, the pastor revealed. If we get caught, what will happen to me? Cordero began by asking. Well, you will get deported in 24 hours, and we will go to prison for 3 years, the Chinese Christians responded. After beginning his lesson, the pastor realized he only had 15 Bibles to pass around, so 7 people went without. I said, turn to 2 Peter 1. We're going to read it. And then one lady handed hers to the person next to her. And I thought, this is interesting. And he recalled it. As the Christians began reading, he quickly realized why she had given her Bible away. She had memorized the entire book. When it was done, I went over to her at the break and said, you recited the whole chapter, he said. She replied, in prison, you don't have much time in prison. You have much time to read in prison. He asked, don't they confiscate the Bible? She said that while any Christian material is indeed confiscated, people smuggle in scripture written on paper and hide it from the prison guards. That's why we memorize it as fast as we can, because even though they take the paper away, they cannot take what's hidden in your heart. Following the 3-day training session, one Chinese Christian man asked Cordero, "Could you please pray that one day we could be just like you?" I looked at him and said, "I will not do that." He replied, "You guys rode a train 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you have to drive more than 1 hour, people won't come. If you sat on a wooden floor for 3 days in my country, people would have, you sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit for more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat here for not only 3 days on a hard wooden floor. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people won't come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that you become like us, but I will pray that you become like you. In foreign countries where people are willing to die, be jailed, and tortured just to receive or give God's word, why don't we cherish it more? There are people who would love to openly tell and spread God's word out there, but can't. While we are shy and have a hard time to, and we just end up, some of us choosing not to, give and tell God. How richly God has blessed us to be able to openly talk, support, and share God's word. I personally look at the worship of the Christians who are in these extreme persecution as the widow's 2 mites. We might seem to those Christians as all those who gave very much because of how much we can worship. But their worship is very, very priceless. Because something that cannot be given without much cost is not, something that can be given without much cost is not as beautiful and isn't as valued as much as something that costs everything. We should pray for those who have harsher consequences for serving God. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we all could be here. Thank you that you bless this offering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Piano, and she's been wanting to play, so she had an opportunity to play today. We thank God for that. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play a game. Each team was instructed to come up with 2 Bible questions. Those 2 Bible questions, if you get them right, then you get to win a prize. Okay. And so let me read a few of the rules. Here is this: the teams will read a question they've created. Number two, they will call on the first hand that they see raised. So we're going to have these first 3 guys go in the back. They're going to be spotting first hand up, answers the question correctly, then they get that prize, okay? If you're correct, you'll get a candy bar. If you're incorrect, they will allow 1 more to answer. After 2 incorrect answers, they'll give a reference, you know, sword drill, hold up your Bible. They'll give the scripture reference. You go find it. You raise your hand. You read it. You get the prize, okay? That's what they're going to do. And so the first one to answer the full reference is given will be the winner in the sword drill style. You may only win twice. That's pretty good to win twice. You may win twice, it says, but it's like questions are open to all. There's nobody, that means young and old alike. Anybody can answer these questions. So they're going to line up in their following order. First, we have Autumn. She's going to come up.
My first question is, how old was Noah when the water was upon the earth?
500.
Taryn? Okay.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Not swords. Get your swords. Your Bibles. Get your sword, yeah. All right, turn to Genesis 7:6. Go.
First one. Stephen?
And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth.
Yes, it's
Jen. Right. Okay, Zane. Let me stay with one. Thing with me and Pastor Hayne here, you know those numbers. He's 600, not 500.
To which tribe of Israel did Saul belong to? Steve?
Benjamin.
Yes.
Can't do any more, Stephen.
Who was the last king of Israel or the northern kingdom? Taryn?
Solomon?
No.
David?
No. Is that it? One more. Who was the last king of Israel or the northern kingdom? All right, swords up.
Swords up.
2 Kings 17:1. Charge.
In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years.
Correct.
On the Mount of Transfiguration, what did Moses and Eli talk about? Yes.
To consider her ways and be wise.
Who should the sluggard go to consider her ways and be wise?
Yes.
Just don't run it, guys.
We got it. Give me
something good. Joshua. Stay quiet, Josh.
Who did God tell to marry a wife that was out of whoredom?
Okay.
What?
Jose.
Yes.
Who went up by a whirlwind into heaven?
Elijah.
question is a two-part answer. So, the first question is, who gave the children of Israel wagons, and who commanded him to give them wagons?
God.
Anybody else? We can repeat it again,
Ellen. Okay, who gave the children of Israel wagons, and who commanded them to give them wagons?
Put the swords up, man.
Swords up.
Put your Bibles up.
Go to Genesis 45:21. Go.
Say it again.
Genesis 45:21.
Joseph and Pharaoh.
Who? Yeah, that's right. Joseph and Pharaoh. How many years did it take Solomon to build the Lord's temple?
Seven.
Yes. Which king of Judah, or the southern kingdom, reigned for 55 years, the most out of the kings of Judah and Israel?
David?
Nope.
Can you say it again?
Which king of Judah, or the southern kingdom, reigned for 55 years, or the most out of the kings of Judah and Israel? Pastor.
Manasseh.
Yep.
Nice.
How many devils did Mary Magdalene have cast out of her? Trevor?
Seven.
Yes.
You're done, Trevor.
My second question is a two-part question. The first part is this poem biblical? Red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. Peter? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then the second part is, who spoke that to the Pharisees? Sam?
Jesus.
Yes.
Very good.
All right,
my question is also a two-part question. Who is Lo-Ami, and what does his name mean? Who is Lo-Ami, and what does his name mean? The passage is from Hosea 1:9. Swords up. Hosea 1:9. Go. Autumn. And the verse above it should say who he is. Who's verse above it or verse before that one?
Verse 10?
No, before that. Before that. Try Hosea 1:7.
But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen.
Verse before that.
It's Chinese. We're going to have it memorized.
Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon. upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take him away.
Yep, give her candy.
How many elders are around the throne in heaven?
What was that?
How many elders are around the throne in heaven? Mr. Kyle?
12.
No. Miss Amy?
24.
Yes.
Can I have the maximum elders you've ever
had? All right. Well, thank you for everybody who participated in it. So what's going to happen now is Mr. Neal's going to come up. He's going to conduct a business meeting, and then he's going to give us our message.
All right, as Pastor talked about, we're going to have a small business meeting for missions giving of $500 to Mr. DeWitt towards Miramar. Am I saying that correct? Miramar. So I need a motion. Ronnie, seconded by Jody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Good, we don't have any donkeys. So carried by acclamation. Pastor, will you have a word of prayer for the meeting?
Father, I do thank you that the people were willing to do that. And I do know that we can put it in this man's hands and it will go to where you want it to be. And we thank you for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. We before the message, we have one more giveaway. It's a special one. It's to only a person that has a birthday July 4th. Anybody have a birthday July 4th?
Other than you?
This is for you, Mr. Maury.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's not much. It's a small gift, obviously, for what you and Amy have done. It's not anywhere near what you deserve, but it's from the class. I gotta stop looking over that way, because if I see Amy, I'm gonna cry. So, another special announcement. Servant's Heart Camp, the teens, we've done this last year, we're doing it again out of our account. Anybody that's going to camp, we are going to give a portion towards their camp to help out with that. Right now, we have three teens attending and two juniors so far. So we also have somebody that is willing to sponsor the kids that are going to Servant's Heart Camp. You need to see Mrs. Ford for that. But kind of like Taryn and Trevor are doing, we're going to give them a job. They can do something to work towards that sponsorship money to help them go to camp, if that makes sense. Did I say it all correctly, Mrs. Ford? All right, Bible's up. Oh, that game's over. All right, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're going to go to Luke 8. And sometimes I have a message that was already put together like 2 months ago. And when this came up, I thought, I'm good. And I just didn't, not that I didn't have peace about it, but if the Lord's going to change it, he'll give me something along the way. And hey, look at this or look at that or whatever. Didn't really happen this time. So I was like, well, we're going that way. Well, then I went up to my parents to help yesterday. My family is, they want to have a garden. So we had to go up to my parents because we live on a hill. So we went to my parents to rototiller up a spot. So that's where this message came from. And excuse me, my wife even said, she goes, is this helping you come up with a message? And I didn't say anything because I was already working away thinking about what I was doing. So the lesson I learned is it's like riding a bucking bronc. You just hold on for dear life and just go. But during that time, I was just, there was several things that just came to mind as I was looking at that. I want to remind me, Ashley, we got to do one question at the end for kids. I forgot that. Anyways, so as we're doing that, I'm looking at it. I'm digging along. And obviously, this is the parable of the soil. So Luke 8, starting in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So what Jesus is saying in that last verse is you should plant corn, because it says if you have ears, let them hear.
Right.
Sorry, that was my joke. Anyways, could Mr. Dick Ruggles, could you please start us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time together to be able to worship for you, Lord. We just pray that you bless this time, you bless this message, and you come here.
Thank you. This is, if you're not a teen, you can tune out if you want, but this is kind of set to teens. But as I learned yesterday, thank you. We have to prepare the ground. Nothing is just set there ready to go. You got to do some work. So preparing the ground is a lot like a Christian life. You got to put a lot of work into it. You can't just expect it to happen. You can't just, well, I went to church for 15 years. It didn't work in my life. I was in church, a part of church, didn't want any part of the church, and went the wrong way. Just because you're young doesn't mean just because you're here and you're hearing it that you're going to turn out the right way. You got to continually be working on the ground. You got to be digging it up. You got to be, and a sign of that digging it up is letting the word get into your heart. You got to be hearing it, not just, yep, I heard it. You got to be letting it get in there and understand what it's saying. You got to take out rocks. We found a few of them yesterday, and the funny thing is, 2 years ago, we did a garden exactly in the same spot, and yet we still found rocks. It's just a miracle to me.
Yeah.
You've got to continue to work at it. You cannot just do it once, do something once, and I got it. You got to continue to work at it. You got to continue to take those rocks out, okay?
Right.
Teens, you got to get the bad out and get the good soil ready. You got to take a lot of work in your life to get these things where you need to have them. A lot of work. It's not easy living for God. I'm going to tell you straight up as a teen, when I was a teen, it was not easy to live for God. That's why I didn't want to do it. It's part of the reason. It's a lot harder to stick to the truth. It's a lot harder to be that one that's different. It's a lot easier to just go along with the crowd. To my shame, I went along with the crowd. It's a whole lot easier, okay? Only problem with that is that brings a whole lot of regrets, a whole lot of damage, and a whole lot of weeds.
Amen.
Weeds that you will work on the rest of your life to get rid of.
That's right.
If you ever get back to the Lord, there's a lot of stuff that has to change in your life because you let it fester. You let it stay there. You let it grow. So again, teens, it's not easy to live for the Lord. I can give you a firsthand account. You can come back. You don't have to go for the world. You don't have to keep doing what the world's doing. If you turn on your news today and you see what's going on, some disgusting stuff going on out there. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to call you names. It's way better to stay on his side than it is to go the other way. You can't fake it. And I have this actually written right in the cover of my Bible. God knows. You might be able to fool myself, Mr. Morey. You might be able to fail your parents, your pastors. God knows. All that stuff that where you're letting that, the weeds grow, God knows. You're not going to fool him as much as you think you can. He knows. So when I was looking at the ground and stuff, what comes to mind first when you think you have it ready, you've hit it five different ways, you've gotten all the rocks out, it's time to plant. Well, how do you know when time to plant is? That's what, in the Christian life, that's what your Bible's for. It's a time to tell you, if you're in your Bible, it's giving you all the seed you need, when you need to grow from that seed, how to plant it, how to work on that, how to harvest that seed. That's what your Bible's for. Not just to bring on Sunday because your parents said, do you have your Bible? Mm-hmm. It is something for you to have every day of the week,
yes,
available at your hand. Josh talked about how most families have two Bibles and don't read one of them. Yes. The Bible was given to us as a huge blessing, and we need to look into it. We need to be in it, not just to have it sit there on a shelf. The funny thing about a Bible is, as long as you can read, it's open to you. It's not, there's no requirements. You can be lost. You can be the sickest person in the world, but that Bible is there so that you can read it. You can understand it. again, there's steps to a Bible. What I learn is far different than what Pastor Asquith learns. Everybody is at different levels. Everybody is different places. But if you're not opening that Bible, you're never going to understand it.
That's right.
Growth starts when more attention, once growth starts, more attention is needed. Called devotions, okay? And you've planted that seed. The seed's starting to grow. You can't just walk away from it, come back 2 months later, and expect it to be there. You got to put the work into it. You got to daily be doing your devotions. Figure it out for yourselves, teens. If it's first thing in the morning, middle of the day, between a break, at evening, but do it. It starts by opening that Bible and doing it. If you just say, well, I don't feel like it today, force yourself to do it. It does, and this is not a teen-related thing. This is a human nature thing. If you are not willing to put the work in, you're not going to get the blessings out of it. And if you don't take the time to make, you have to make the time to do that devotion. If you just you say, oh, I missed it today, I'll get it 2 days from now. No, it's not going to happen. You need to stop what you're doing, go back, make that time, or it's just going to be full of weeds by the time you get there. A funny story about weeds is when I was growing up, my dad had a garden, and my brother, which was a bad influence on me, I'll just straight up tell you that, he said we had a rule that we couldn't go swimming until we had had two furrows done in the garden a day. And I'm out there, and I'm doing mine so I can go swimming, and my brother says, what are you doing? I said, we got to do the two. He goes, just do the same two. Dad didn't say which ones, just do the same two. It's very easy. It's very quick. So as a naive young child, I listened to my brother, and our garden had four beautifully done rows. The rest of the garden was 3 feet high with weeds. And fortunately, at that time, fortunately, my father had not went out behind the garage to check on the garden. And so one day we're outside playing and we heard the typical, boys, and we knew we were in trouble. And we get out there and my dad says, what is this? And so we spent the next couple hours weeding that whole garden. We were instructed that would never happen again. That's what happens when you let weeds grow in your life. It just continues to grow. It overtakes what you want. You put something in the ground that you want to eat at some point in some time, other than the deer and the woodchucks. But if you don't do the work, there's going to be nothing there for you to harvest. It's you have to do the work. You have to keep going. So teens, we'll hit verse 7 again real quick. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. Whatever you put in that ground is going to get choked out. I'm guaranteeing it. If you're not out there weeding your garden, keeping your life straight, you're not filling it with the sun, the water, all those things, you're just letting it go, it's going to be full of weeds. You need water. You need to weed it. And if you're doing that, your garden gets stronger, just like the Christian walk. I say to my teens all the time, everything in life is a choice. And then you got to deal with the consequences afterwards. So if you're willing and you want to draw closer to God and you're willing to put the time into it, you're gonna grow. There's nothing that can happen negatively if you're spending time in your word, you're spending time getting closer to God and you're praying. Your garden is going to flourish. There's going to be so much growth to it. We have to, the garden that we're planting, we've already bought the fence. So to me, this is not cost effective. We're planting a garden so that we can save ourselves money on this food, but yet we've went out and bought fences and poles. And anyways, luckily borrowed a rototiller. But if we got to put a fence up. Teens in our church, do you have a fence? Is your church house or your house a safe place to be? Are you going to be able to thrive inside that fence? Okay? Look at your church as a safe place to be, a safe place that you can grow and you can flourish. You have all kinds of things at your disposal in a church. You have Sunday school teachers, you have pastors, you have elders that can talk to you, that answer questions. It's a safe place for you to be inside the church. As you get older, it doesn't change with age. The church is still your safe place. Your church is still a place for you to grow and of a like mind with the like people. The danger is on the outside. Does that mean you go out and you just hide from the world? No. But when you have to be on more guard, okay? That's why we put scarecrows in our gardens and we do all this stuff that why we're not there to try to protect it. When you go outside that fence, when you go outside your church or your home, you got to be on defense. You got to be looking at what Satan's trying to get you with and what he's trying to attack you with. The reason gardens fail is the soil's not good. We're digging behind my dad's garage. If you go across the little brook, it's nothing but clay over there. Nothing's going to grow in clay, and it's going to take a whole lot more work to get it to grow. You got to be wise, and you got to have the right soil. You got to have water. If you're not watering it, it's not going to grow. If you don't give it enough attention, we already talked about this. If you don't have it weeded, you got a problem. You got animals that like to eat your vegetables. Nothing worse than putting all the time in and coming back a week later and it's all been eaten because of animals. You could put the wrong seed in there. You could look at the packet, put down it, grab another one by accident, put the wrong thing in. You're expecting watermelon and you get radishes. You got to be paying attention as you're building your garden. You can, as the Bible talks about this, the sower, he spread it where he wanted it. Anybody that's done a garden, you mark a line and you plant it and you put the seed packet on top of it so you know that's what's in that line. If you had a really bad neighbor like myself who went over and switched all of them on you, you're going to be pretty upset when the thing comes up because you're expecting something here. But you got to know your garden. You got to have it. You got to be doing it right. You got to have the right seed. You got to have them in the right rows. It's my warning to the teens class. You got to make sure you know what you're doing. It's your life. God gave it to you, and it's ultimately God's life. But it's how you run your life is how it's going to turn out, just like a garden, okay? If you're not watering it with the right things, if you're messing in the wrong soil, you're putting the wrong seeds in, it's going to be a tough life. It's going to be a lot tougher than what it could be if you just stick with Christ and follow what he has for you. Amen. Watch your gardens. Stay on top of them. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, that's not the way to do it. Do it this way if they've never gardened before. That's part of talking to elders, talking to your Sunday school teachers, talking to those that know about the Bible that can help you, not just going down to Bob on the corner and saying, what do you think about this? He doesn't know. He's just going to mislead you, okay? The idea when you have a garden, an easy, quick way of seeing if you have a good garden or a bad garden is if you plant a whole row of corn and there's only one stalk, that's probably not a good sign. The idea is to have a full row of good harvestable corn. One corn stalk in the garden, this might be a little bit of a stretch, but this is the way I look at it, is it could be a sign if you only have one stalk of corn in your garden, your Christian walk. Could it be because you did it pridefully or you're doing it in a wrong way? You didn't plan it the right way or you didn't take the right advice? Now, I look at that as pride. I can sit here in church, and Mr. Morey's only been saved for 9 years. I've been in church most of my life, and he knows much more about the Bible than I do. He's got a full field of corn stalks. Sometimes I look at that, and the regret is I could have a cornfield just like his, but I walked away from God. Those times I could have been putting work into my garden, I chose to go for the world. Since Mr. Morey has gotten saved, there's only one thing in his mind, is that's a full garden. He wants as much corn in that field as he can get. And so he's in his Bible day and night. Much more than I am, again, to my shame. But I need to learn from him just as much as teens need to learn from us. There's never a level where you need to be satisfied. If Mr. Morey, if you ask him, he'll tell him he's still got more to learn. If you talk to Pastor Asquith, he's going to tell you he still's got more to learn. You can't just be satisfied with your one corn stalk You need to be worried about filling your garden full of corn. Okay? Teens, godly life is not easy. It takes hard work, but the harvest will not last for one season. It will last for generations. Again, we just planted a garden 2 years ago. Didn't have much success. Luckily, I talked my wife out of it last year. She talked me back into it this year. So we're going to try it again. But I couldn't go out to where we had had a garden and just go, yep, it's good, throw some seeds there. I had to work for 2 hours digging that ground up, looking for rocks, trying to get the stuff out. Everybody has some, nobody's life is exactly the same. You can't look at me and do, well, if I do everything he does, then I'll be good. Just like anybody in here, you have to find your path to God. You got to find, and I don't want to be easyism religion, but it all starts with your Bible. It all starts with being in church. It all starts with your personal devotions, teens.
That's right.
Yep. Getting into your word, finding who God is to you, and making that a priority to keep your garden growing, not for just next year to have in the freezer, but for generations, because there's going to be a point when you got families, when you have kids, when you have teenagers, and the stuff you learn when you're a teenager is going to affect that next generation. So, and I get it, you're young and you're saying, I don't want to have kids, I don't want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or just, you know, that's nothing to me. It will happen. You're going to get to those points where having a mate, having a family, it's all going to come. I said all that stuff too. 29 years later, somebody caught my eye, and it's been great ever since. But that was not my intention in my life, as short-sighted as that is. So Luke 8, 9 through 15 is Jesus' answer, and we'll actually only start in verse 11. Now the parable is this. So Christ is pretty easy. He explains it to you. He asks you questions or tells you the story, and then he turns around and explains it to you. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We've just been talking about that. Doing your devotions, doing your what you need to do to learn more about God. He lays it right out, right there. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He's telling you right there, some are going to hear. It's not going to make a difference in their life. I'm trying to encourage you now. You're hearing. Stay in the word of God. Do not just let it go by the wayside. Because the devil is just sitting there waiting to take and sift you, okay? Verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. I was raised in church. I heard all the stuff. I heard all the messages. I heard, for a while I believed, okay? And then in time, temptation fell and I went away. I went after the world. I didn't want to be one of those goofy Christians. I didn't want to be one of those people that got laughed at because of their beliefs. Well, let me tell you, today I'd rather be laughed at any day of the week than be on the other side, okay?
Yep.
Verse 14, and they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit or to perfection. That was me, teen. When I wasn't living for the Lord, all I cared about was my possessions, the pleasures of life, what next great thing could bring me something, you know, what new and exciting thing could have an effect in my life. Again, if I would have been focusing on God at this time in my life, I could be at a much closer relationship with my Maker. Instead, I went the other way. I went the easy way. And again, now I have a lot of those wounds from those thorns that I was in. Just trying to save you a lot of pain, it's much better to walk with God than be surrounded by thorns. Even yesterday, we had to cut some thorns out of where we were at And you got to put gloves on. You got to do something to protect you from them thorns. If you don't ever go out and start messing around with the riches and the pleasures of life, you won't have those wounds. You won't have those pains to heal from. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Key word there is patience. It's not a sprint. My wife was a sprinter. She loved to run fast. I'm the slowest man on the face of earth, so when I would make her mad, I zigzag because she can only run in a straight line. If she just had patience, would wait for me to come back, she would nail me. It's not a quick, fast race. Life is as long as God gives you. By the grace of God, you have breath. Perfection takes time. There's nobody I know that's become saved and is instantly, overnight, an evangelist or a pastor or be able to tell you everything about your Bible. But teen, you have the advantage of starting in a church that preaches the Word of God, that preaches the King James Version, that you can grow from. You have so many benefits if you just look at it and understand that, okay? You have so many benefits being here. So the challenge, teens, parents, do you want a bountiful garden or just one cornstalk? Okay? The challenge would be that you have the best garden you possibly get. All the work you put into it, you make it the best that you can possibly have. And then I have this last thing, and then we'll have our closing song. Little effort given means little reward. If you're not willing to go out there and work in the garden and get your hands dirty and do all the work, you're not going to have much reward. It's the exact same thing with the Christian life. If you just, I went to church, I'm good. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to do devotions. I don't need to talk to my Heavenly Father that supports me every day with breath in my lungs. I'm good. You're going to get little reward. And that is not much of a reward. So we'll close in that with prayer. We're going to have one question. You want to do it, Mr. Moore, or you want me to do it? This will be a question for, what do we want to do, 10 and under or 12 and under? 10? This question is for 10 and under. Raise your hand if you're 10 and under. Katie, you got 4, 5? All right, first one who raises their hand, tell me, how many animals were allowed of the same species, same kind, were allowed on the ark?
Two of each kind.
So you can come up and get yourself a candy bar, okay? With that, what song was it, Grace? Page 394.
Still recording.